Okay. Well, everybody knows the second part of this gospel. It's obviously doubting Thomas. But Thomas does put his hands into this, or just looks at him. He doesn't even have to touch him. Then he believes. And this is the first time, even doubting Thomas is the first one who calls Jesus my Lord and my God. Okay, so just a little tidbit for you to know. So we've all heard this sermon of doubting Thomas, but I want to focus on the first part of the gospel. Okay, the disciples knew that Jesus' tomb was empty. Okay, and they heard Mary Magdalene's proclamation that she had seen the Lord. Now, despite of this, their fear of the Jews, that they would come after them and crucify them, they locked themselves in the meeting room. And you can understand why. I mean, this person that they follow is dead on a cross. The crowds are still there cheering Jesus' death. So these guys sort of slipped away, went in their room, because people knew that they were followers. Now that night, that same night, now this is all happening the same night that of the resurrection. Okay, so they saw the tomb. So that night, Jesus appeared and revealed his wounds and his hands and his side. That way everybody knew the resurrection fulfilled the promise of Messiah that was made to Abraham and to all the descendants. He then blessed them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Just as the Father sent me, now I sent you. If you forgive sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And this command is known as the Great Commission, which outlines our responsibilities as followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. This is the commission. We're to share the good news of God's saving love, just as Jesus did when he walked among us. Okay. Now, everybody in this room, everybody, any Christian, really anybody in the world, has a certain relationship with God. Therefore, there are countless ways of interpreting the Gospels or the Good News. Now, some people adopt a very literal approach, while others embrace a more liberal interpretation. However, we can never, ever forget the essence of Jesus' message. God is divine love, and this love forgives and nurtures all of God's children. Okay, all his children. We put God in a box, and we put Jesus in a box, and therefore we put God in a box and say, "Oh, it's the Christians." No, God, everyone is God's child. Keep that in mind. So how should we interpret Jesus' words? Remember the rich young man? "I've done everything so well. What do I have to do to gain eternal life?" Remember him? "Take everything you own and sell it and give it to the poor." It could not be more straightforward, okay? Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Now, this is challenging to accept, especially if you have a couple of coins of your own. So we search for a more gentler or more manageable interpretation. How about people who judge others strictly by the law and forget to see them as individuals with a life story? And that's very prominent today. You know, it's like, "Oh, they were this, they were that." And they don't see the person for who they are now. Jesus said, remember she was an adulteress? And Jesus said, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." Oi, right there. Now, the second part of the Great Commission declares, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Christ's commission, or God's commission, grants us the power to forgive sins. Okay. Now, some might argue that only clergy possess this privilege. And upon ordination, a priest does receive the grace to forgive sins through the sacrament of reconciliation. Okay. And reconciliation, there are instances when a person who's distraught over something they did, they hesitate to approach the person that they hurt, and they feel more at ease first talking with the priest. And I will tell you, if you do reconciliation, it's always the priest. Here's what happens. They sit together. The forgiveness is spelled in one of the best lines in the sacrament of reconciliation. The priest always says, "I too am a sinner." And then to give them, hopefully, the courage to face the person that they have harmed. I will tell you the ABCs of ordination. This is what makes a priest different from a deacon. Okay, we call it the ABCs. A priest can absolve sin. So we do have reconciliation. B is we can bless. You know, when I say bless you, a deacon can't bless. Only a priest can bless. Third is a consecration. Okay, a deacon cannot consecrate, only a priest. So that's the ABCs of priesthood. Just so you put that in your little pocket so you know. Okay. However, now when someone asks us to forgive them, granting that love conveys that message when we forgive. Sometimes forgiveness comes easily, and we feel pretty good that we're willing to forgive. Okay, we're pretty good. Other times, it can be challenging to fix. And people say, well, what would Jesus do? Well, we know he's Jesus. We know he's going to forgive. The question we need to ask is, what does Jesus want you to do? That's the question we need to ask. And that's the question that makes us take pause, okay? And that's when we feel the Spirit inside us telling us we struggle. You know, the Spirit is telling, and that's human. That's okay. The last section of the commission says, if we retain the sins of any, they are retained. Some sins are not ours to forgive. We can advise the person to seek forgiveness from the one they harmed. And we pray that that harmed individual finds the grace to forgive. Okay. Now, certain sins, and you'll remember from the Ash Wednesday service, are called notorious sins. They're notorious sins. And we know people in history, you know, and even sometimes today, are committing notorious sins. So we have to pray for those who commit these sins. And that's so hard. And we also pray for those who are affected by those sins. We pray that these individuals recognize the harm they are causing. And they seek forgiveness and reconciliation. Okay. The power of love is revealed when those people have harmed can open their hearts and forgive them. That is true forgiveness. So there you have it. That's the Great Commission, or discipleship, that centers on love and it centers on forgiveness. It challenges us to teach everyone how Jesus made those he encountered feel safe and accepted. No matter what they did, they can feel safe and they know forgiveness will come. However, okay, this is a big point. It's essential to remember that love and forgiveness begins in our own hearts. Amen.